Special order of business. I am going to start with Public Service Recognition Week, May 7th through the 13th, 2017. Whereas each year since 1985, the first week in May is set aside as Public Service Recognition Week in appreciation of the thousands of dedicated people who serve the public. And whereas this week is set aside to acknowledge those government employees who best exemplify the spirit and sacrifice public service requires. And whereas government employees are committed to excellence in public service, making countless contributions to our nation every day at local, state, and federal levels to help keep us safe in our communities and improve the quality of our lives. And whereas men and women in public service defend our nation, enforce the laws, maintain transportation and sanitation systems, deliver our mail, help protect the environment, respond to emergencies of all natures, educate our children, provide health care, and a multitude of other vital services. And whereas communities large and small depend on those who serve as elected officials and administrative personnel to accomplish the work of the people. And whereas government is only as good as the men and women who work for that government. And now, therefore, I, Kendall D. Kelch, Mayor of the City and Borough of Juneau, Alaska, on behalf of the City and Borough Assembly, do hereby proclaim the week of May 7th through May 13th, 2017, as Public Service Recognition Week. And I would ask the City Manager to come up and talk about someone that exemplifies public service.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We have a long-term city employee who is retiring, and her last day of work will be this Friday after, I believe, nearly 26 years of service. And if I could have Marlene Love come up, please. Thank you, Marlene. Just had to get you up here and embarrass you one time at the end.
You're kidding.
Marlene has worked for Capital Transit for nearly 26 years.
Yeah, 26 years exactly.
Exactly.
Wow.
And she's retiring as our operations supervisor. And Capital Transit relies on good, consistent, regular service. We have lots of drivers, lots of routes. It's constant training, constant focus on customer service, safety, orderliness of the system. People need transit to be on time and to work so that they don't have to think about it. And Marlene is the person that really is the glue that kept transit together for many years, kept drivers trained, kept our customer service. So I'm not going to labor it too much, but she's always been a fantastic presence and just had such a great attitude, and has exemplified, you know, what we want out of our employees and serving the public. So we're sad to see Marlene go, but we're happy for her. She's earned it, and we really want to wish her well.
Darlene, we have a letter carrier stamp out hunger food drive day. Do we have anybody from the letter carriers here? I knew we did.
Hello.
Whereas every year on the second Saturday in May, litter carriers across the country collect non-perishable food as part of the nation's largest one-day food drive, distributing the donations to local food banks, and
whereas the Letter Carrier Stamp Out Hunger Food Drive is just one example of how letter carriers work to make a difference in the lives of those they serve. Since the pilot drive that was held in 1991, more than 1.5 billion pounds of food have been collected. And whereas
we recognize all we recognize all letter carriers for their hard work and their commitment to their communities. All the food collected in our community stays in our community, and we support carriers' efforts to help those in need in our community. And whereas
we also recognize the noteworthy milestone of 25 years that the National Association of Letter Carriers has celebrated in this 2017. Now, therefore,
I better do this one. I, Kendall D. Couch, Mayor of the City and Borough of Juneau, on behalf of the City and Borough Assembly, do hereby proclaim Saturday, May 13th, 2017, as Letter Carriers Food Drive Day. So we will encourage the citizens of our community to support the food drive by placing non-perishable food items in or near your mailbox on Food Drive Day. Your letter carrier will pick it up while delivering the mail, and together we can help those in need. What day is that again?
On May 13th. Thanks, there in May.
Mr. Mayor, I have a question. So, sir, for those of us that have P.O. boxes, can we just stuff something back in the box?
If you have P.O. boxes, you can take the food to the post office when you can bring out a P.O. box. Or I'm going to try to have hampers in the grocery stores as well.
Thank you.
So complicated. Now, the last one is proclamation on cleanup day. Lori, why don't you come up here with me?
I'm here.
I know you're here. So, whereas keeping Juneau clean has been a community priority since 1916, when the City of Juneau Mayor E. Stewart announced that a cleanup campaign should be inaugurated, the papers and citizens in general should cooperate in the matter of urging the cleaning up of the entire city, and whereas
we are still at it today, 101 years later, and
whereas Litter Free Incorporated and its community partners have coordinated this year's cleanup to be held on this coming Saturday, April 29th,
and whereas trash bags and other supplies will be available to the public on Saturday morning from 8 to 10 a.m. in the following locations: Delta Western, Foodland IGA, Douglas Fire Hall, Western Auto, Fred Meyer, Super Bear IGA, Duck Creek Market, and Squires.
And whereas it is a high priority of the mayor and the assembly and the city clerk to maintain a litter-free capital city for the residents of and visitors to the city and borough of Juneau, now, therefore, I, Kendall D. Couch, Mayor of the City and Borough of Juneau, do hereby proclaim the day of April 29, 2017, as Juneau Community Cleanup Day. And I call for the personal participation of all of our residents. You want to say a few words?
I just want to thank all of our sponsors. There's also going to be a wetlands cleanup coordinated by a field trust out at the Sunny Branta Point on Sunny Point, Branta Road on Sunny Point, and that will start at 9 o'clock. And also the Alaska Brewery is offering a picnic for all the volunteers in the afternoon from 1 to 5, and Juneau Watershed Partnership is doing their creek cleanup, and they'll be meeting at Duck Creek Market in the morning, and they'll have a picnic at noon at Duck Creek Market.
Thank you very much. That concludes our special order of business. Approval of minutes. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. April 3 minutes, I did turn in a few corrections to our clerk. And so I move that they be accepted as corrected.
Is there any objection?
There was no substantive change. They were all grammatical. Thank you. And April 5, special assembly meeting, I didn't find anything, any corrections needed.
And?
I don't know if anyone else did, but I asked for unanimous consent to approve those minutes also.
Okay, is there any objection? Seeing none, minutes are accepted. Manager's request for agenda changes.
Mr. Mayor, I have one request, and that would be item F, Ordinance 2017-10, that we reschedule for the May 15th regularly scheduled meeting. There is a special and specific notice that we have to send by certified mail noticing the meeting, and we failed to do that, so we need to reschedule that for May 15th.
May 15th. All right. This brings us to public participation on non-agenda items. The sign-up sheet is in the back of the room, if someone would get that for us. We have one person signed up for this, and you want to set the timer at 3 minutes?
Sure.
And it's Mendenhall River Site Council, who is representing Mendenhall River. You need to stand where we can get you with the microphone, please. And please state your name and your address.
My name's Christy Dillingham. I live at 9618 Stickeen Street.
Tenny Bentz, 9360 Turn Street.
John Laurie, 9240 Emily Way.
We are part of the Mendenhall River Site Council. I'm the principal out there, Christy Dillingham. We drafted a letter that we'd like to present to the board. I emailed it out yesterday, but I have hard copies here. And we'd just like to go ahead and read it out loud for public record.
Dear members of the CBJ Assembly, we are writing to make you aware of the serious concerns in near-term and long-term maintenance needs of the Mendenhall River Community School building. We are aware that the City and Borough of Juneau owns all buildings as capital assets for the community. Therefore, we are approaching the Assembly with a request to fund a much-needed remodel of our school. MRCS was constructed in 1983 and remains the only school not updated in recent years in the Juneau School District. In a 2013 facility condition survey report commissioned by the district, significant civil, structural, architectural, electrical, and mechanical deficiencies were identified for much of the school. The roof and walls are the only building components not requiring major improvements. The report offered an estimated capital improvement cost of $13.9 million to remediate these serious deficiencies. We invite you to examine the executive summary of the 250-page facility condition assessment to fully understand the condition of our community school. And the website is in the letter. The condition of the school is more than building maintenance backlog among many other capital needs in our district. The condition of the school is beginning to affect students, staff, and efficient operations. The interior aesthetics in our building are harsh and detract from a positive, welcoming, learning, and working environment. The 33-year-old carpets are outdated and have been splitting for many years. Metal transition strips have been installed over frayed edges in order to extend its use. The aged red carpeting coupled with the bright turquoise textured fabric that covers the walls and dark entryway can leave a strong impression on visitors and students that is counter to the warm and welcoming positive environment that our students deserve. The 323 kindergarten through fifth grade students eat their lunch in the gym. We do not have a commons area for lunch. Every day from 10:45 to 1:15, our gym is unavailable for students to use for assemblies or PE classes. This restricts our school schedule to only offer PE classes during times of the day in which the gym is not being used as a cafeteria. The plumbing in the Mendenhall River Community School is also past its expected lifespan and is constantly causing problems. Approximately once a week, one of the bathrooms is temporarily shut down for student usage due to overflowing toilets and/or sinks. The heating system in the building is in dire need of upgrade. The control system is so outdated, the parts required to fix it if something breaks are no longer available. This is affecting the instructional environment that we need to maintain to be a strong school for our community. The school grounds, pavement, entryway, shelter, and covered playground areas are deteriorating and create challenges in maintaining a safe campus and outside during recess. The above issues are becoming more than a need and require active planning and design before further serious conditions emerge, affecting our student, staff, and instructional environment. We love our campus and our stature as a community school within the Mendenhall Valley. We invite you to come and visit the school and speak with students and staff about our concerns.
Thank you.
Are there any other comments?
We were just wrapping up.
Okay.
You have the full letter.
Yeah, is there any questions from the assembly? Thank you. Clarifications? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That concludes this portion of public participation on non-agenda items. There is another portion in the agenda towards the end if there's someone else that wishes to address the assembly later on. Brings us to the consent agenda. Is there any request for consent agenda changes other than ordinance for introduction from the public? Is there any assembly request for consent agenda changes? Mr. Jones.
I like item 3, the bid award. I have some questions, and since we're not on the, don't ask those during a consent agenda, I like that one moved.
Okay.
So, item 3, bid award, Aspen Avenue pavement and drainage improvements will be the first thing we deal with after the consent agenda. Any other assembly? Seeing none, Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of the consent agenda with the exception of item number 3, the bid award, Aspen Avenue pavement, which we will take up later, and I would ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objection? Seeing none, the consent agenda is approved. We are now at item number 3, bid award. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In the manager's report, the second paragraph, my understanding from what I read in here was that this was originally awarded to one vendor. That was protested. The protest was upheld. It was awarded to a second vendor. I assume the original vendor then protested that, and that's still under protest. But you're recommending that we go ahead and award the bid anyway?
Mr. Manager?
Explain that a little bit more to me, please.
That's correct. And so you'll find back in the packet there'll be two memorandums, one from Mr. Smith, the contract administrator for the engineering department, and a second one from Mr. Healy, the engineering and public works director. The memo from Mr. Healy essentially details a argument that I support, and the argument is that there is a compelling interest to complete the work now and get those improvements done for the public, and that delaying for the purposes of bid protest would either drive us to not completing the work this year or incurring additional costs. The apparent low bidder on the bid opening day was in arrears on bills to the city, and ultimately we found them not in good standing. They did have time to cure that, but did not cure that within time frame.
Mr. Jones.
So maybe you can help me understand. Bid award was originally protested. The procurement officer upheld that protest. Is that the same person now that hears the second appeal, or does it go to a different party, or is it before law, or who hears the second appeal?
So it's not technically an appeal. The purchasing officer made a recommendation on the first protest and upheld the protest. And there's now, I think just today, the protester who lost the bid has now filed a protest. I believe that was just today. That will go back to the purchasing officer. She'll make a recommendation, and then that goes to the bid review board for its consideration. The bid review board then makes a recommendation to the manager or the assembly, depending on the amount of the contract. And the code allows for the manager to recommend award of the bid if it's in the best interest of the city, and that's what has happened.
Mr. Jones?
So the bid of $1.4 million is a threshold within the manager, and it doesn't come back to the assembly?
The manager has to make the recommendation and the best interest finding, but because of the amount of the bid, that's why this one is before you. But it's the manager who makes the recommendation for the bid award.
Right, but my question was, if the bidding review board has to hear it, then it goes back to manager or us?
If the bid review board were to finalize an appeal, or a protest, rather, after the manager recommended award under the best interest finding and you awarded a contract, the bidder could potentially be can seek bid costs, bid preparation costs. It is not something that goes back to the procurement officer for another level of decision making, and it is not appealable to the assembly.
Okay. You had just said something at the bidding whatever committee made a recommendation to the manager, and you said depending on the dollar amount, it might come back to the assembly. I was trying to figure that if we take an action tonight, but potentially the protest comes back to us, that was my concern.
You don't hear, it's not an appeal, so you don't hear, for example, you don't sit in as a quasi-judicial body on bid review board recommendations. The bid review board issues a recommendation on bid awards to the assembly. So for, let's say, take it outside of this case since there are things pending in this fact under this case. So if for example, there were a contract, it was protested, the manager made a best interest finding and you went ahead and awarded it while a bid protest was pending and the bid protest was upheld. The bid review board could make a recommendation to the assembly that the protester be awarded the bid preparation costs. That's what the bid protester is entitled to as a result of a bid protest is the bid preparation costs. And that would be within, that would come back to the assembly for a decision. It would be within the assembly's discretion to award that.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't have any other questions. I'll remove my objections.
Okay. Is there any other questions? May we have a motion? Mr. Jones?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd make a motion that the assembly approve the bid award for Aspen Avenue Paving and Drainage Improvements, CBJ contract number BE17-165, and ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Seeing none, the motion is approved. That brings us to public hearing. Ordinance 2016-09. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance transferring $2,760 to the Jensen Olson Arboretum Endowment Fund, funding provided by unexpended capital project funds from the closure of the Jensen Olson Arboretum Capital Improvement Project, P42075.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would close one capital improvement project and return $2,759.88 to the Jensen Olson Arboretum Endowment Fund. Jensen Olson Arboretum Advisory Board approved this request at its February 8, 2017 meeting. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there any public comment? Seeing none, Mr. Gregory.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2016-09-AK and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Seeing none, the ordinance is approved. Ordinance 2016-09. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $120,000 as funding for the relocation of the Greening Park Sewer Pump Station Generator Building in the Glacier Highway Sewer Anchor to Walmart Capital Improvement Project. Funding provided by the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities.
Mr. Manager.
Alaska DOT has requested that the CBJ relocate a generator building as it is in the way of their new construction plans for Glacier Highway. This appropriating ordinance provides $120,000 for design, construction estimating, and bid document preparation. Funding for construction and associated work will be provided by DOT upon completion of the design and construction cost estimate. Public Works and Facilities Committee heard this issue and reviewed project timelines at its March 20, 2017 meeting and forwarded this ordinance to the Assembly for approval. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there anyone from the public that wishes to testify? Seeing none, Ms. Weldon.
I move that we adopt Ordinance 2016-09-AL and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Seeing none, the motion carries. Ordinance 2016-09-AM.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $700,000 as funding for the Juneau Housing First Collaborative, JHFC, capital project, funding provided by the sales tax funds fund balance.
Mr. Manager.
In January 2016, the Assembly approved providing $1.8 million in bridge funding to the Housing First Collaborative for construction of the Housing First facility. The bridge funding had the potential to become a permanent increase in funding provided by the CBJ to the project if other planned fundraising sources did not work out. Construction of Housing First is nearly done and tracking towards opening in July of this year. Total estimated cost for design, construction, including change orders, and administration is projected to be $7.6 million. Total construction costs are $6.7 million, including the health clinic. To date, Housing First has collected or has committed funding of $6.4 million, including a $1.5 million grant from CBJ. There remains a current funding shortfall of $1.2 million. At this point, Housing First has no additional sources of funding they are highly confident are available. Housing First is requesting that $1.2 million of the bridge financing be converted to an increased CBJ grant. On June 30, 2016, CBJ Finance Department encumbered $500,000 of the original financing, estimating that there would be a potential future request, and reduced the available fund balance. To provide the total increased grant of $1.2 million, this ordinance for a $700,000 fiscal year 17 supplemental appropriation is needed. The Assembly Finance Committee reviewed this request at its April 5, 2017 meeting and forwarded to the Assembly for approval. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there public comment? Seeing none, Ms. White.
Yes, I move the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2016-09-AM and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? The motion carries. Ordinance 2016-09-AN. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum. Oh, sorry. An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $125,000 as funding for the Treadwell Mine Park Preservation Office Rehab Building Rehab Phase 2 Capital Improvement Project. Funding provided through a grant from the Rasmussen Foundation.
Mr. Manager.
The request was to approve a $125,000 grant for the purpose of rehabilitation of the new office building at the Treadwell Historic Park. CBJ Parks and Recreation is working with the Treadwell Historic Preservation and Restoration Society to rehabilitate the new office building into an open-air shelter for public use. Parks and Rec.
Close that door, please.
The Parks and Rec. Advisory Committee recommended approval of this ordinance at its regular public meeting on April 4, 2017. Assembly Public Works and Facilities Committee recommended approval at its regular meeting on April 10, 2017. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there anyone from the public that wishes to comment? Seeing none, Ms. Platyshevsky.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move for adoption of Ordinance 2016-09-AN and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Motion carried. Ordinance 2017-08. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance amending the penal code relating to the discharge of firearms in the Mendenhall wetlands.
Mr. Manager.
At its meeting on February 13, 2017, the Assembly directed an ordinance be drafted to amend City and Borough Code to allow for shotgun use on accreted parcels formerly part of the Mendenhall State Game Refuge. This ordinance amends the City and Borough Juneau's Penal Code in accordance with the Assembly's direction. Ms. Mead has an amendment to this ordinance, and prior and after considering that, I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there anyone from the public that wishes to comment? Seeing none, I will bring it back to the Assembly. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of Ordinance 2017-08, and I'd like to ask the city manager if she would be willing, I'd like to ask the city attorney if she'd be willing to speak to that proposed amendment language.
Sure. This is in response to an email from the airport manager. She explained that there is a portion of the accreted land, which would be subject to this ordinance, that is in transition from state ownership to city ownership. She said right now their hunting is not allowed on these parcels. So she asked if there was a way to amend the ordinance to protect the airport's interests on that subject. And so before you, I handed out earlier a proposed amendment that provides that while hunting is allowed and not prohibited, as the original amendment envisions, that does not work to negate state or federal law.
Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just sort of to follow up, would it be fair to say that this added clause would be useful whether or not we did the underlying reason for this ordinance? We still need this language either way?
It would be useful either way in case the state changes its mind. So.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, I'll move that we amend the ordinance as proposed by the city attorney in writing there. I don't know if the clerk needs me to read that into the record.
If you would, Madam Clerk.
The amendment would be to amend the ordinance 2017-08 on line 19 to read, it is unlawful for any person except a peace officer in line of duty to fire or discharge any firearm within 1/4 mile of any public street, road, or highway within the city and borough of Juneau, except that, and these are the added words, unless otherwise prohibited by state or federal law, it is not unlawful to discharge, and et cetera.
Okay. Mr. Keel, that is your amendment?
That is my amendment, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Discussion, Mr. Keel?
Not on the amendment.
Is there anyone else that would like to discuss the amendment? Is there any objection to the amendment? Seeing none, we're back to the main motion as amended. You moved this, right?
I did.
Okay. We're back to the main motion as amended. Is there any objection to the main motion as amended? Mr. Jones.
For the purpose of a question, there was an email that we all got that was a letter from a couple people. We probably on Engineers Cutoff in Hall Peninsula. And they were concerned and sent a couple of pictures regarding how close hunters would be to their property. And I know from other emails the attorney had talked about people with accreted land have, a lot of that's now private property. It's not really part of the, well, it's part of the refuge, but it's private property within the refuge. And people could still post, you know, no trespass signs, I assume, or no hunting signs or whatever. What would be the process for somebody that had, I mean, would they have to walk out to the end of their property line and post it on each corner, or how would they do that if somebody was a hunter and wandering out through there?
Madam Attorney or Mr. Manager?
Mr. Mayor, there's no set way that would have to be done, so the test would just be whether or not they were giving reasonable notice to people coming onto the property that hunting is not allowed on their private property.
Follow up?
Mr. Jones?
I'm assuming they're not walking through the private property to get to the refuge. They're coming through some public access and then walking the other way. So, I mean, it would be pretty difficult for them to know that they were on private property if it's not otherwise marked, but I'm just confused about private property and a wildlife refuge, and you know they're allowed to hunt or not allowed to hunt, and if the onus is then on the private property owner to take care of any potential people coming too close or whatever.
So one, I don't believe that it retains its state refuge status once it becomes private property. It's accreted private property, so it's no longer in the wetlands. That's how it becomes accreted property and capable of being held in private ownership. So it would be like any other situation where somebody wants to post their private property against anyone trespassing or using it. There's no set way to do it, but yes, they would probably have to walk out to where the end of their property is and post a sign that says "Do not trespass, no hunting allowed," or something like that.
Oh, maybe this is getting too far in the weeds, but if a created land becomes private, it's no longer part of the refuge, then is it the onus of the state that has to go in and resurvey so that if I was looking at maps or whatever, to know that, you know, there's now, you know, 150, 200 feet of land that's no longer in the reserve?
That happens as part of the quiet title process. So if I'm a property owner that fronts the wetlands and I see that there's a whole bunch of accreted property now that's no longer looking like wetlands, I can file a quiet title action with the state to take that accreted land. So that's part of the process that happens when someone gets private ownership of those accreted lands.
But I, as a person who lives on West Juneau, how would I know that? I mean, if I looked at maps from Game Refuge or, you know, looked at what the boundaries are and those maps are 10 years old, I wouldn't know that. So, I mean, just the sort of quick deed from the property owner doesn't inform the public.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, may I? Mm-hmm. It's no different than we have quiet title actions relating to public access to beachfront that go by someone's house, and there's one I'm thinking of right now where there's a quiet title action pending because there is land that is accreted to the private owner, and people won't know where that line is, but there is a line between the two property owners. So I don't believe the state goes in and restakes it. I don't know that the lines are drawn during the quiet title process. But I'm not aware of there being any state process where the state goes out and posts fences or signs or anything letting people know where the boundary is. It would be up to the private property owner to post where they don't want people to cross, to post at the end of their property.
Okay, thank you.
We're back to the main motion as amended. Is there objection to the main motion as amendment?
I'll still maintain my objection.
Okay. Will the clerk please?
Yes, sir. May I speak to the...
Certainly.
Thank you. So I appreciate the opportunity. I guess to speak a little bit as a non-attorney to some of the issues that Mr. Jones raised, it's always the responsibility of any hunter to know the ownership status of the lands he or she plans to hunt. And there are public lands information centers and resources online. It's also, however, useful to have some of the maps associated with, for instance, any permits or some of the fish and game management stuff. And, of course, the Mendenhall Wetlands State Game Refuge is pretty well known in our community. And in fact, at the 9 public access points to the refuge, there are maps posted. Just happens that this accretion of land has been going on for a while here, and so there's the potential for some confusion, not actually as to where it's legal to pursue waterfowl, but where it's legal under city law to use a shotgun in pursuit of waterfowl. And so this makes the maps match. But it does that, as I think the city attorney said, without changing anybody's private property rights. If you have an accreted parcel and you don't want people hunting on it or walking on it, it was within your rights yesterday and will be within your rights when this passes to post your land. Nothing changes there. But this, with passage of this ordinance, it makes things, well, I guess the way to say it is it makes the maps match for where it's legal to pursue waterfowl and where it's legal to use a shotgun when pursuing waterfowl in Juneau. So pretty straightforward as far as that goes. It doesn't change anybody's private property rights, and it doesn't do away with any responsibility of an individual who wants to hunt. This just makes it legal to do it within the former boundaries of a refuge that was created for exactly that purpose. So I'll ask the members to vote yes, please.
Okay. Any other discussion? Seeing none, there was an objection, so will the clerk please call the roll.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
Yes.
Ms. Weldon?
Yes.
Ms. White?
Yes.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Ms. Gladyshevsky?
Yes.
Mr. Gregory?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Mayor Kelsch?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. Mr. Manager, do we have any unfinished business?
No unfinished business.
Okay. Under new business, authorization for the manager to enter into a fair market value. Negotiated sale of property from USS 3559 Lot 2. Sorry, Madam Clerk.
You did good.
Thanks. Mr. Manager.
Mr. Mayor, the Lands Office received an application from a private applicant to purchase approximately 14,000 square feet of city property on either side of the applicant's existing lot located at 11,259 North Douglas Highway. The applicant's legally non-conforming 14,000 square foot lot does not meet the minimum dimensional standards for a lot located in Rural Reserve Zoning District. The applicants would like to purchase adjacent city property to increase their current lot size. The Lands Committee encouraged the applicants to purchase additional property so that their lot would conform with the area's Rural Reserve Zoning designation, which requires lots to be a minimum of 36,000 square feet and 150 feet in depth. On April 10th, 2017, the Assembly Lands Committee adopted a unanimous motion of support to the Assembly for a fair market value negotiated sale ranging from approximately 14,000 to 22,000 square feet of city property from U.S. Survey 3559 Lot 2, known in our land management plan as Parcel 1421, to the original applicants. The applicants indicated they would purchase as much property as they could afford, but were unable to commit to purchasing 22,000 square feet until a sale price was established. As established in 5309-260A, staff recommends that this proposal be pursued by direct negotiation with the proposers because this land sale would not create new lots, only add to an existing lot. I request a motion of support to enter into direct negotiation for the disposal of between 14,000 and 22,000 square feet of city property from U.S. Survey 3559 Lot 2.
Is there anyone that wishes to comment on this? Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the Assembly approve a motion of support for the manager to enter into direct negotiations for the disposal of approximately 14,000 to 22,000 square feet of city property from USS 3559 Lot 2 and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Seeing none, motion carries. Staff reports, Hawk Bay Marine Station.
Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to give this report tonight, although it's we are extremely close to an agreement with the university, although it is still dotting I's and crossing T's. But I generally wanted to describe that to you so that you would understand the situation. Through a lot of hard work from the manager's office, Docks and Harbors, and the university, we've come up with an agreement to share the parcel by subdividing it along a line that allows the university to obtain the lab building and sufficient land around the lab building, and Docks and Harbors to obtain the remainder of the parcel. In the agreement, the land would be subdivided and split into two parcels. We have negotiated an agreement that the parties would share the costs of the subdivision, which would include construction of a driveway access on the university side, which will allow the university to access the lab building fully on their property. And the benefit on the Docks and Harbor side is that there would not be an easement encumbrance through the middle of the Docks and Harbor side of the property. Since the federal government currently owns the property and is ultimately going to dispose of it through Department of Education to the university and through the Maritime Administration to the city, it's a little bit of a complicated stepping process that has to happen, and the subdivision also has to make its way through our planning department to make sure that it's done in conformance with our land use code. Our portion of the costs that we would share, I believe, is approximately $250,000, so you will see an appropriation coming back in front of you for that portion of the costs, and that will go towards the construction of the new driveway access, as well as for the demolition of several small structures that are past their useful life that the new property line would cross, and as a condition of subdivision would need to be torn down. Neither party sees value in those structures. They're glorified sheds. I think that's most of what I wanted to get into the update. I wanted to give you the good news that we're extremely close, that your next action will likely be an appropriation request for the city's portion of the costs. Personally, I'm quite pleased that we were able to reach this agreement. It took a long time, and it was a lot of hard work, but ultimately, I think both the university and Docks and Harbors cared for the details in an important way that it will allow for maximum public benefit of the property. And as I go back to the federal government's criteria for disposing of the property, it's simple. The federal government's criteria is that the property be disposed in the best interest of the United States. And I believe that the university and Docks and Harbors have achieved that. Barring any questions, that's all I have to add on this topic.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Are there any questions? Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The driveway, having sat through a lot of discussion about shared access and all these other things, DOT is starting the process of redoing that road, straightening that curve. And I remember at some point there was discussion about how people coming out of Chapel by the Lake, you know, would make a left-hand turn with the revisions. And the idea was that they could make a right-hand turn and go up by the old lab. There'd be a left turn lane, and they could make a U-turn and come back with a driveway, a second driveway. There'd be two driveways where there was one. Have you discussed with DOT? Are they going to allow you to put in a second driveway? I guess that starts my question. You can use your engineer and figure out all the rest of my questions.
Mr. Manager?
Thank you. In the DOT project, the highway moves substantially uphill into the area that's just been cleared of trees. The old highway becomes effectively a frontage road for the NOAA property and the Anderson building. And off of that old highway frontage road, there essentially will be three driveways, one to the Anderson building, one to the lab, and one to the Docks and Harbor side. So it matches the DOT construction plans. As for the right out of Chapel by the Lake and the U-turn, nothing in this changes anything in the DOT right-of-way, and none of the work would alter that. I'm not fully aware of the details of that movement, but this all happens downhill of the what I'm going to call the frontage road, which is the old highway.
Okay. Mr. Jones.
I guess as a follow-up, I haven't followed the project in detail, but the last couple of public meetings I was at, which is quite a while ago, I didn't realize they were leaving frontage road. I thought they were straightening it out and tearing all that out, and that access would be like they have been doing. I didn't realize they were leaving a portion of the road. Are they going to sign it? Do they have barriers? I mean, how that suddenly become three lanes there and for 200 yards or something? I don't quite understand how they do that.
Mr. Mayor, I can follow up with a picture that might help. And so essentially, The highway moves uphill, and then this small little road that serves those properties is a, I'm going to use the word frontage road or driveway, that is within the DOT right-of-way that then feeds into what will be three separate parcels. It's a rather wide DOT right-of-way. I would be happy to email a picture around, and I think that might clear it up.
If you do that, Mr. Manager, it would be much appreciated. Any other questions? Okay. Central Council Clinkett-Haida Fee to Trust. Madam Attorney.
Yes. At the last assembly meeting where we discussed these applications, we now have copies, full, complete copies of all of the applications relating to 8 lots on Willoughby Avenue. We talked about asking for an extension of time from the Bureau of Indian Affairs. The Bureau of Indian Affairs gave us until May 5th to comment. They allow for a 0 to 30 day extension upon request if made within the first 30 days. I have heard from the state. The state called to find out what our position was with respect to these applications. I explained to the assistant to the AG and the attorney that I was speaking to that the assembly has not had time to substantively consider them yet. At that point, we did not have the applications. The state recommended that we join into a joint request for an extension, and they proposed 30 days. And I told them that I was bringing it to the assembly meeting tonight to hear from you and get some direction. At close of business today, I did receive a jurisdictional agreement. If you recall, that is an agreement between a tribe and a local government that lays out some of the regulatory issues and who's going to do what. So, for example, fire, police, utilities, road maintenance, those things are normally covered within these such agreements. The copy that I got from Central Council only addressed fire and police. Very narrowly. So I think there's still a lot of work to be done to work something out that I can then bring to you for your consideration. So my recommendation is that we ask for at least 30 days from May 5th to submit comments in conjunction with the state's request.
Okay, are there any questions?
Just a quick question. So we have not yet asked. I thought we were asking for an extension. We have not yet asked.
We have not yet asked because the amount of I heard different things about the amount of time to ask for.
Thank you.
Mr. Dan Kervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So, Madam Attorney, do we now have all the paperwork that we last time you and I had talked? We hadn't gotten the paperwork from T&H, and we have all that now.
We have the applications.
Okay.
The jurisdictional agreement is an important piece of paper that we still, I have the beginning of one. But we do have complete copies of the applications now.
Thank you. A follow-up, Mr. Mayor?
Certainly.
So, Madam Attorney, is 30 days enough? 30 days seems very short to me when it comes to filing legal paperwork. So, I asked you that. Is just the state said 30 days. Do you feel that 30 days is enough, yes or no?
It depends on how many assembly meetings there are between now and then that I can bring these agreements back to you and the proposals and give you time to work through these questions. I explained these are just new. They're new for us. They're new for the state. The BIA office that I spoke to, this was one of the first ones that they had handled. They don't really have a good process in place. I can tell you that the BIA paperwork states within the letter that we have, we can request an additional 30 days. I don't know if they will expand that. I don't know. 30 days is a short time period to work through some of the issues, but the BIA does not require a working through of the issues before they will decide the application. So this is a little bit of a rub, if you will. BIA will make a decision based on the application and the comments it receives, irrespective of whether or not the local jurisdiction has worked out a regulatory agreement with the tribe. I think that jurisdictional agreement is a really important thing to work out to come to consensus about how we're going to move forward with this really new thing in Juneau. I don't know that 30 days is enough time because it's got to go both through you and through Central Council's governing body, and I don't know if that's enough time, but that is all the time that the tribe said that they would agree to.
Ms. Wadaszewski,
just to follow up on all the things. So we just got this May 5th day. I'm just trying to understand how that gets set. If we don't have all the paperwork, or we just got all the paperwork and we don't have the jurisdictional, you're saying this is a BIA date and we don't have any, there is, it's a BIA date period, and they might give 30 days, but if we don't have the paper, it doesn't matter.
We have the applications from
but not the jurisdictional stuff.
Right, and that's a separate thing from BIA. BIA doesn't really care if we have a jurisdictional agreement worked out. The 30 days is set by the BIA, and it's tied to the date that they send out the applications.
And just because, like you said, this is a new thing, and no one's ever done this, or in Alaska, people have done it all in the lower 48, it seems short to do the first one. So I would encourage as much time as you can get.
Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was just looking at our meeting calendar. We have a meeting May 15th. June 5th is the next one. That's exactly two by your 30 days. Well, that's not even two. I don't think we would get there. It would be one day short, maybe. So just for what it's worth, I would echo Ms. Gladyszewski's comment that I would be amazed if we got everything done in 30 days, just because normally doing this stuff takes longer than 30 days. So I would encourage you to try and get as much of a window of opportunity to get everything completed correctly as you can. Thank you.
Any other comments? Mr. Gill?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just that I would hope we'd, I'm sure they're already packed, but we've got committees of the whole on May 1st and May 22nd, and sounds like we'll need to wrap our brains around this at not just regular assembly meetings, but COWs too.
Do you have direction?
Yes.
Okay. Assembly reports. What?
The manager was asking.
Mr. Manager?
Mr. Mayor, if we can, Ms. Cosgrove can give a staff report on the Twin Lakes Project Playground Fire, which I think is going to be of interest to the body and the public listening in.
So just briefly, of course, the situation is evolving, but as you know, Project Playground went up in flames earlier this evening, and I have not physically seen it, but what looks remaining is not much of what was originally there. So it looks like, except for some of the swing structures, most of it burned to the ground. The fire is out, is our understanding. The fire marshal is on scene trying to determine the cause of the fire as we speak. I talked before this meeting with our risk management officer. She will reach out to our insurance brokers in the morning. To the extent that that property or equipment is covered through the city, we do have an insurance policy that will assist. I'm not entirely sure where the exact ownership partnership got left after the build. It's my understanding that it was passed to the city. So I believe it's our responsibility, but I want to just toss that caveat there to say I need to take a look at the source documents and make sure that that's the case. What I really wanted to pass along, though, is since we've been sitting here, I've received a couple of email messages from people saying that there's, of course, huge community concern, and understandably so. It was a big community project for the build. There are multiple GoFundMe accounts being started, and there are questions coming in if people want to donate, where they should donate funds to, and I guess my main message to the community would be it's premature at this point for the city to say. And that we have not, in fact, sponsored any of the GoFundMe accounts. I'm sure they're being started by very well-meaning and dedicated citizens, but at this point we're not in a place to say which account should be donated to. And
Thank
I'd
you,
be
Ms.
happy to answer questions if you have any, and I can at this point.
Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. No injuries in the fire or in the response to the fire?
As far as I know, there were no injuries.
Thank you.
Yes.
Ms. Becker.
Thank you for the report. In addition to the actual playground, mm-hmm. are there other structures that burned, like the one up the hill? I think I heard that burned.
I'm not entirely sure. You know, there's those two little picnic pavilions. There's the one that's right on the ground that's mostly cinder block, and I think it's actually got a metal roof. The pictures I saw, it looked like that was still standing. The little picnic shelter that's up the hill, I don't know the answer to that. I've not seen a picture of the ultimate damage. didn't appear to be in flames the last I looked, but I don't know if it ultimately went up or not.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I will give the mayor's report, and why don't I start with what I did this morning, which was to provide welcoming remarks to the state fire arson investigators, of which we have close to 40 here. So it just seems
ironic.
I also provided welcoming remarks for the 82nd Plinkett & Hyde Convention, and last Wednesday I attended the Plinkett & Hyde Heroes Award Banquet. All those went very well. We need to have our thoughts and prayers with Merrill Sanford, mayor, who is in Seattle, and last I heard, in very stable condition. And the last thing is we do have an anniversary. Our city manager has been here over a year now. So, number one, congratulations. Number two, it's time for your evaluation. So we will be putting that together and getting something out to the rest of the assembly. Committee and liaison reports. Let's start with Mr. Gregory.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So the Eagle Crest Board met on Tuesday, April 6th at 5:30. They're still discussing the beer and wine initiative. I believe that they're also talking with Ms. Mead in the law department. And they are working on an ordinance to be presented to the Human Resource Committee sometime soon. They are looking into a resolution which would cover the rental of Eagle Crest facilities and the sale of alcohol while those facilities are rented. We should also see that on a HR committee agenda sometime soon. Interim Eagle Crest manager Nathan Abbott currently has drawings for the Black Bear Electric project. They are considering fundraising opportunities to electrify the chair. Right now it's still on diesel when all the other lifts are on electricity right now. So that's one project they're working on. They're also reviewing alternative power options to power more of the hill in the event that there's another power outage like we had. It must have been about a month ago where the lights, the power went out and they had people stranded on the chairs and some of the facilities didn't have power. They couldn't run credit cards while people were waiting for the chairs to come back up. So they're looking into that. The Eagle Crest Trail Advisory Committee is meeting and they're always continuously looking at ways to improve our trails up there. And they're also discussing volunteerism, liability waivers, protecting CBJ and Eagle Crest when folks are volunteering. They brought up that there is a massive overhaul on the Treadville Ditch Trail from Blueberry Hill to Eagle Crest. It's estimated to be a $600,000 job that's underway. There is a lofty goal of a cabin at Cropley Lake. They think that, you know, they might start the planning on that in the next 5 years. And as we heard, there were 24 applicants for the general manager position. They're looking at hiring a new manager sometime soon. We heard from the Alaska Zipline Adventure Group, and they rent office space from Eagle Crest and helps them out and generate revenue. This is the Zipline's 12th season of operation. They've had no safety incidents. Their numbers are increasing, and they wanted to remind us that Alaska Zipline offers discounts to locals. They give out passes to our nonprofits in our community, so they seem to be a pretty good business. Eagle Crest Management is currently talking with Parks and Rec about a multi-facility pass and working on the details of that, where you can buy a pass that'll get you into the pool, the ice rink, the indoor field, or Eagle Crest. They're working on a new website, and we had a presentation from the Nordic Ski Club. And they're looking at collaborating with Eagle Crest to enhance Nordic skiing at Eagle Crest and bring more people to the mountain. That is my Eagle Crest report. The Affordable Housing Commission met on Tuesday, April 4th, and they're looking at code efficiencies. They're going through Title 49, looking for disincentives to housing and building housing. They've broken out into committees, and they have a mobile home park development committee. They came up with 14 potential areas for new mobile home parks in the region. It will require a rezone should the city ever have that come up. They're looking into a blighted property ordinance, and one of the members is drafting language for a potential ordinance trying to balance code violations and non-conforming issues. So I'm sure hopefully they're working with Ms. Mead on that. And the chief housing officer has been compiling data from Craigslist regarding vacancies for rentals, and they're also now tracking MLS data for single-family home sales in the area.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Gregory.
You're welcome.
Ms. Weldon?
For JEDC, the 8th Annual General Maritime Festival, created and produced by JEDC, will be Saturday, May 6th from 11 to 5, and it will be at the Alaska Steamship Dock, the new dock, and it is free to the public. And to pay for that free to the public festival, the Port to Starboard Dinner is on Friday, May 5th, and it's a progressive dinner starting at Boco al Lupo, sorry if I butchered that, and ends at the Baranoff. The JEDC will have the STEM summer camp, and for more information, go to www.jedc.org. And the revolving loan fund has disbursed a loan in April to the Amalga Distillery, and their next meeting is May 3rd at noon at JEDC. The school board met on April 11th, and they approved the Genoa Community Charter School annual contract for fiscal year 2018. They also awarded the student transportation contract for fiscal year 2019 through fiscal year 2026 to First Student Bus Company. They approved a revision to the student activities program to lift the ban on middle school athletic travel. They approved a policy on open closed campuses to officially establish closed campuses for grades K through 8. And they approved a new policy allowing temporary memorials on school property. Their next meeting is May 9th at 6 p.m. at Thunder Mountain High School.
Thank you, Ms. Weldon. Ms. White?
Just a question for Ms. Weldon. I want to make sure I caught the dates right. Was that a 7-year school bus contract?
Yes.
Thank you.
Not sure why it's 7, but.
Okay, Ms. White?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Aquatics Board is continuing to identify efficiencies in their operations. The pool covers for the Augustus Brown Pool are on order. The Planning Commission has a meeting scheduled for May 9th. So far, it appears to be a fairly light agenda. Lands Committee will be on May 1st. Also appears it could be a light agenda. Travel Juneau completed their travel fair on April 15th, as well as their training of, and I keep having to say this, the largest corps of Visitor Bureau volunteers in the nation is in Juneau. Just saying, so we have some great volunteers. And then just as an aside, I was looking through one of the reports on convention sales, and to give you an idea of what they've done in fiscal year 14, there were 10,883 heads in bed nights, and in fiscal year 17 for convention, it appears to be 16,169 scheduled heads in beds for an estimated economic impact to Juneau of $4,083,281.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Mr. Jones.
Did you say the next Planning Commission meeting was on the 9th of May? They don't have one tomorrow night?
Oh. Let me check that. They might have one tomorrow night.
Well, I was looking at the agenda and trying to decide where it was going to go, so I was hoping.
Oh, okay. You know, I believe you might be right.
Okay.
Okay.
Just wanted to clear that up. Thanks.
All right. Ms. Gladyszewski.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Parks and Rec Advisory Committee met April 4th. They talked about one of the things that came before us today, that Rasmussen Foundation awarded a $125,000 grant to improve the office building. We took up that today, so that's good. they talked, the Juno Community Foundation approached them with Parks and Rec, which about a proposal to assist in improving the Treadwell Ditch Trail. And the Community Foundation is putting together a fundraising effort and as well as coordinating volunteers. So they're working on that project. Their next meeting is May 2nd. The Juno Commission on Sustainability met on in April, and they talked about things of note here about some of the outreach events that have happened, and the Renewable Juno Fair that happened on Saturday was very successful. The Commission on Sustainability was among the tables there. That was at the high school after the science march, but there was a couple of 3 hours, and there were a lot of groups there from hydroponics to electric cars, and the Commission Sustainability was there as well. Upcoming things that they're working on April 26th, so Wednesday, April 26th, there's a lecture on food security in Juneau, and that one is at 7 o'clock at the UAS Glacier View Room, so that's at UAS. And then the next day, on Thursday, April 27th, here in the Assembly Chambers, is a discussion on the city we need and the city we want. So it's a future Juno event. Their next meeting is May 10th. The Bartlett Hospital Board has not met since we last met, but they did have a service award banquet this weekend on Saturday. Many people came. You know, Bartlett has many long tenured employees, 30 years, 25 years, and they were all honored on Saturday, and the board next meets on April 25th.
Mr. Jones?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Human Resources Committee meeting as a committee of the whole met prior to the assembly meeting, and the main purpose of the meeting was to interview two members for the airport board. So the Human Resources Committee is recommending the reappointment of Dennis Harris to a term beginning July 1st, 2017 and expiring June 30, 2020, and a new appointment of Dennis Bedford to fulfill the term vacated by Mr. Mal Menzies. That term will expire June 30, 2017, and then also appointing Mr. Bedford to a new term beginning July 1st, 2017, and expiring in, I guess, June
30, 2020. Yeah, are there any objections? The nominations are approved.
The other discussions we had was related to Friends of the Flag, I got some other suggestions at the end of the meeting, and I forgot one. We also had an appointment to the Douglas Advisory Board for a term expiring September 30, 2018, and the Human Resources Committee recommends the appointment of Terry Tibbetts.
Okay. Are there any objections? Nomination is approved.
Okay. Then the Airport Board, the last meeting, major issue that was discussed at the board was their recommendation related to access from the adjacent property to near Temsco, Hansiger Pond area. The developer there cannot access directly onto the on-ramp onto Egan. So the airport had been working on several options for land swaps to recommend to the city. Which they did at that meeting was they approved a preferred process to exchange some land, and we'll make that known to the city and work with city lands so that the access onto Mapleston can be had so that they can develop that property appropriately next to the Temsco area at the end of the airport. Their next meeting is May 9th. Local Emergency Planning Commission Committee, I missed the last meeting, and they ended up not having a quorum for that meeting, and their next meeting is May 10th. Downtown Business Association last meeting. A lot of discussions about the map, which you all saw the other night, and also the request for funding that they presented to the Finance Committee. And their next meeting is May 2nd. I will be in Pittsburgh at the Main Street convention. So if anybody wants to attend, I'll try to keep informed because they oftentimes can't meet a quorum given that that's right at the start of the cruise ships. And so they may change the date. I'll try to let people know if they do, if anybody wants to attend. And then just one briefly follow-up on Mr. Gregory's report on Eagle Crest. The Eagle Crest current manager, the board chair, myself, and Ms. Mead are meeting at 9:30 tomorrow morning to look at the ordinance. And in discussions with the attorney, we had thought there might be two resolutions, and we've put it into one. Don't have time to go before the Human Resources Committee, which was tonight. So we're hoping that we can bring it directly to the Committee of the Whole meeting on May 5th. I don't think it'll take very long at that meeting, but we're going to try to do that. We've got most of the issues worked out. There's a couple other things that we still need to discuss for my edification more than anything else, so that I can present a coherent report to the Committee of the Whole on the 5th. And I think that's all of my report. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Assembly Finance Committee has met three times since our last regular Assembly meeting, I think. Rather than go through the details of what we discussed, I'll say that, of course, we've begun our walk through the manager's proposed budget, and we met with the school district about its proposed budget, as well as all of our empowered boards, except we've got Bartlett coming up with the next one, just a scheduling matter. The Finance Committee has also begun to look at some potential budget reductions, a list proposed by the manager, and at our next meeting on Wednesday, we'll get into a little more detail on that list. There, you will also see some of the information we've been asking for on additional assembly member suggestions in this lovely little packet that you should all have on the table in front of you. So that's all I'll do to foreshadow Wednesday, except to steal a little bit of your thunder and point out to the general public that we have a special assembly meeting on Wednesday of this week, beginning at 5 p.m., for the public to testify on the budget, the mill rate, the capital improvement project, and, oh boy, is there one more? Yes, the school district budget. I knew there was something else. And so, again, at 5 p.m. this Wednesday will be the public's great opportunity to come testify on those items before the Finance Committee continues its work on them. Shifting into liaison reports, the Alaska Municipal League Board of Directors will meet May 2nd and 3rd. That will be in Anchorage. I will probably be on the phone for a lot of that just because I don't think my day job is going to let me out of town next week. The campus council will meet on May the 1st. That's the week before commencement, which is a pretty big event. If you have not had the opportunity to attend a UAS commencement ceremony, let me strongly recommend it. I can get any of you the details. It's an inspiring and a remarkable thing in our community. And I think that concludes my committee and liaison reports. Can I jump the line a little bit from the one presiding officer report I thought we were done with? Thank you, Mr. Mayor. For the seven of us who participated in the Seal Trust tax appeal, we have received a motion for reconsideration or a request for reconsideration from one of the parties. You have that in your red folder. It came in just before the close of business today. Let me ask all of you to read it, and we will then set a time. Of course, considering appeals is not subject to the Open Meetings Act. That's quasi-judicial. So we'll set a time to get into what actions, if any, to take on that. But let's not do that tonight since no one's had a chance to read it. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Gill. All right. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Did you want to talk to
the... No, I'm just making sure that, you know, last time I missed him and I didn't want to miss him this time. And it is the desire of the chair that we will go through these comments, assembly comments, public participation, and then take our break when we go into executive session, unless somebody, you know, needs a break before then. But I think we can do it. Ms. Becker, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Public Works and Facilities Committee discussed bid code updates and the LID policy changes, which allocates more costs to the public owner and a little less to the city. And there's an update on the pipe project in Franklin. The Alaska Committee, gavel to gavel, wants to discuss their future with us. So we're planning to look into what they're thinking. Teresa Young was appointed for Mal Menzies' seat when he had to resign. Docks and Harbors board meeting is this Thursday at 5 in the chambers. And are we supposed to do our comments now or wait and you'll come back?
We'll go back down the line.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Mr. Dan Curvis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Committee of the Whole last met on April 10th. We talked about the Aquatics Board, Housing Data, Peterson Hill, Fireworks, and the Economic Development Plan. If you wish more details than that, the city website has the minutes, and you can dive into them. Our next meeting is May 1st here in Assembly Chambers. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Assembly comments and questions. I'll begin on this end and go back. Saturday, I attended the Comic Cartoon Convention. Pat Race and friends should be commended for an extraordinary gathering of some very high-named people in the cartoon world in Juneau, Alaska. So it is great to see people bringing conventions into Juneau of this caliber. Also, Sunday went to the Family Promise, which is an organization of faith groups dealing with families in need of housing, and they explained their program, and they will be off and running on the end of this month. Mr. Dan Curvis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was just going to comment on Ms. White's comments earlier when she was giving her committee report. My math is bad and everybody knows that, but it sounded like we had a 60% increase in convention attendance over the last year, and I would say great job to travel to Juneau.
That was 14 to 17.
Oh, or sorry, I thought that was 16 to 17. Well, either way, 60% increase in 3 years is still very good. And that's all I have. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I attended the Pillars with Brandon Stone, David Stone's son, who was just wonderful. He just good speaker and delightful young man. I was just really impressed with him. Made us think a little bit about David, though. Went to Bridge Builders yesterday. Bridge Builders is a group that gets together under the direction, actually, of our First Lady, who brought this project from Anchorage. And it is to create congeniality among all the races and all the people. And it was really great. We had about seven different cultures represented with displays, wonderful food, and then we had dances, and they danced their native dances. It was a very good, very good program. I also went to Empty Bowls last night. It seems like so long ago. The place was packed, and I think someone told me there were 1,400 bowls contributed, which is wonderful. really some beautiful poles, too. Attended Kathy Hildreth's service on the 22nd. I mentioned that because the Alaska Committee recognized Kathy through a
collage.
A collage and a certificate, and yeah, thank you. I forgot what it was. And our mayor gave a recognition too, since with a whereas statement, whatever that is. Anyway, and then also there's an invitation from the people who have worked on Treadwell inviting us to take a tour, and they will give us a tour anytime we want to go.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's been a couple of those weeks that just make you proud to live in such an active community. So I think Ms. Gladyszewski mentioned the March for Science, Ms. Becker, the Bridge Builders, and Kathy Hildreth's service. You mentioned Family Promise. I saw you there. Also had the opportunity to attend the Friends of NRA fundraiser. That's the apolitical charitable group that supports our shooting sports in our schools and improvements to shooting ranges and the like. And that was, it's always an impressive event. Our little Juno group is actually one of the top 25 events for that charity in the nation, which is pretty remarkable. It's an all-volunteer committee that does a great job. I wanted to thank everyone who came to town for the Tribal Assembly this past week. That was a remarkable gathering, and always welcome, always proud to have them here. And just add my thoughts and prayers to yours and everyone else's for former Mayor Sanford. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A question to, I believe, Ms. Becker. We did have the letter from Mendenhall River School that was read into the record. And I was just wondering if this topic has come up at the joint school facilities group between the school board and assembly, and when that next meeting might be. What's happening with that? Was that contract let to go through all the facilities? I just would like an update on that committee, since I don't know when the last one met, but I knew I couldn't attend, so. Been a year since I've seen one of them.
Ms. Becker, do you have that information?
I am looking for the date, because we do. I do have one. I have it in my calendar. It's in May sometime.
June 14th.
It's June. Okay, sorry. See, the mayor's on top of it.
Leg day, right?
And the email, although I did not know this, so I guess I'll have to check on it. Yes, it is the 14th. Said that it would be our last meeting. And I'm a little surprised at that, because I didn't think we had accomplished everything we wanted to accomplish, so I'll be checking in with Mr. Healy. And the Mendenhall River specific has not been brought up. However, the consultants were supposed to do an inventory and look at all of the problems that the schools might have. And I think, I'm hoping we get a thorough report on that, too. Mendenhall has a lot more expensive problems than I thought they had, so I was kind of surprised to read that. But that is something I'll also ask about, because it hasn't come up specifically. June 14th, okay.
So as a follow-up to that, hopefully the June 14th won't be the last meeting, because the consultant report's not due until fall sometime, is it?
I don't know why that came out that way, because it shouldn't have, I don't think.
Mr. Manager.
Mr. Mayor, I would expect that committee process to go on for some time. It will be nowhere near the last meeting.
Okay. Then a couple other things. Friends of the Flag will be putting up the flags on Egan this Sunday. I know there's lots of other stuff going on, but I think it's Thursday night. There's a public meeting on the biosolids project at the airport starting at 6. That is Thursday night, right?
It's not on my calendar, but that sounds right.
Yes. Because I think it conflicts with the meeting League of Women Voters is putting on here in Chambers about the city we need or the city we want. free of biosolids. but I will be at the airport, not at the other. And then just brief information. As I said, I will be in Pittsburgh next week for Main Street. So I will be on the phone for the COW and on the phone for the Finance Committee on Wednesday, the 3rd. And then also, because of a scheduled Marijuana Control Board meeting, I will be on the phone for the HRC and the Assembly on May 15th. And Ms. Weldon will chair the HRC that night. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Ms. Wadaszewski.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So we've mentioned the Bridge Builders event. It was called We Are the World, celebrating the diverse cultures of Juneau. That's the second one, and that was a great thing. And also the empty bowls. So I have a couple of questions. One is about the process for the Mendenhall River School. Shouldn't that be it sort of leapt right to the assembly? Isn't the school board? I don't know if they went to the school board or what exactly happened, how it got here. Do you know, Mr. Manager?
Mr. Manager?
Through the mayor. So the normal process would be that the school board would prioritize its capital improvement requests, and then it would deliver those requests to the assembly. And I think that's where it needs to go back to. And I'll communicate with the superintendent on that issue. That would be the normal course.
Right. And then there is that committee as well, so it's kind of a interesting thing. And then just a quick question, the Seawalk from the Gold Creek to the bridge, just what update can you give us on the project?
Mr.
There?
Manager.
Mr. Mayor, so we will give a better PSA tomorrow on what will be available and when, and just a little bit of explanation why it's not an easy question. So we have a contractor who's completing up the elevated walkway, and they're completing the handrail. Second contractor who will be beginning, I saw their surveyor out there, finishing the top of the island, the vegetation, landscaping, as well as everything on the park side, including the pool around the sculpture, parking lot, park amenities. In the fall, DOT will be redoing Egan Drive, which will reduce some access. And then I believe also late in the fall, the city will be redoing West 8th Street, which is the roller coaster road in front of Labor and Fishing Game. So the short answer is pieces of the Seawalk will be open to the public, but it's a little hard to predict exactly when. Mm-hmm. The handrail should be done soon, and I'm hopeful that we can make portions of the wooden Seawalk available either from the Fish and Game side or from the Egan side for use in the interim, and we'll try to get clear information out on that tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. White?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. So I do stand corrected. As Mr. Jones said, there is a Planning Commission meeting tomorrow night. Things on the agenda include a conditional use permit for 7 single-family dwellings on Jackie Street, and I believe those are the house build program. A couple other small things, and a conditional use permit for an indoor exercise facility in an industrial area out Thane Road, which will actually be a CrossFit facility. So those would be the items of interest on that. It was nice to hear the comments about the people who got to go see Brandon Stone, David Stone's son. Just a reminder, there's 2 more weeks of Pillars. We have W. Mitchell this Wednesday and Larry Zonka the following Wednesday. Had to put a plug in as a sponsor. But while I've got everybody, if there's anybody out there that's still listening to this on the radio.
Of course they're listening.
Well, hopefully they are. But, you know, I've been a little distracted tonight. So I'm going to put this out there. There's a suicide hotline, 1-800-273-TALK. It is free, it is confidential, it is always available. Suicide is never the answer. Get help now. It's not going to end your pain because it's going to exponentially pass that hurt onto those that you love. They will not be better off without you. 1-800-273-TALK. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Light. Ms. Weldon?
I was able to attend the travel fair on the 15th, and it was well attended, and there was lots of vendors there. They were handing out great deals for locals, so if you get a chance to go next year, it's a good opportunity. And I also attended the Brandon Stone Pillars with several of the other assembly members. And I spent this weekend at the Alaska Judo State Competition in Anchorage this weekend, and Capital City Judo, which is Juneau local contingency, brought home lots of hardware and two new black belts. And Sensei Jay Watts came out of retirement and won both the senior and master division, so it was a lot of good judo action.
Thank you. Mr. Gregory.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So I'll keep it short. I'm happy to see the new cruise ship dock is just about complete, and they have opened up most of the dock for public use again, and look forward to seeing those ships rolling in here soon.
Thank you, Mr. Gregory. That brings us back to continuation of public participation on non-agenda items. Is there anyone signed up to address the assembly? Mr. Johansson. If you just give us your name and address, please.
Sure. Larry Johansson, 227 Irwin Street. I wanted to give you an update on how the web streaming is going. Pretty slow. This is probably an indication of how things are going.
For those of you who don't know, the what is
the microphone cover?
Yeah, the cover just popped off the microphone.
The nine people who are watching saw the cover come off. But it's not costing me any money, obviously, because there's not a lot of people watching. So I kind of look at it as a garden. It's going to take a while before things sprout up, but the word gets out that it's happening. I think people will tune in because I think you guys are entertaining. It's better to watch, I think, and see the people interacting as part of it, especially at the beginning when you do the ceremonies and acknowledge people. That is an important part of the function of the assembly, and I think it's better when it's on video. But although it's a slow start, like I said, it's not costing much, so I'm going to continue to do it. So any word that gets out, I'm going to be coming Wednesday, because I think that's an important function for the city to citizens to participate in the budgeting. So that will be on the net. So after that, I'll continue to do it as much as I can. Thank you.
Thank you,
Mr.
Brown.
I
have a question.
Sure.
Ms. Bodishevsky.
I just wanted to make sure you gave us how can people see it. Tell them where exactly they can go.
AlaskaNews.tv.
AlaskaNews.tv.
Correct.
So everybody go to AlaskaNews.tv.
Right now, and you'll see
AlaskaNews.tv. Is that what you said?
AlaskaNews.tv.
What was it?
I love you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Nankervis, would you like to take us into executive session?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move we recess into executive session to discuss the CBJ versus Gaston Apartments issue, the matter of immediate knowledge of which could clearly have an adverse effect on the finances of the city and borough of Juneau.
Is there any comments from the public? Is there any comments from the assembly? Let's take a 10-minute break, so when the big hand is on the 11, we will be back in session. Thank you.